Two things. Number one, if you see red all over me, it's not blood. It's spaghetti sauce. And number two, because my good wife wasn't here this morning to keep the reins on me, I talked a little longer than I normally do, so hopefully tonight we'll make up for that. I want you to turn over to the book of Luke with me, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're just going to read here the first 25 verses. Actually, let's start at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 17, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient, the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were complete, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach." So this is an account of what preceded the birth of John the Baptist as we think about this. Tonight I want to talk about being a people prepared for the Lord. That's what the Bible speaks of quite often, being a people prepared for the Lord, primarily through the concept of spiritual readiness. When the Lord returns, we need to be ready spiritually. In Luke 1, that we just read, we think of John the Baptist. He's like Isaac, the child of promise for Abraham, his son. John is a miracle child. His parents are too old to conceive a child. Think about this. right? His birth is announced by an angel, Gabriel, a pattern here. And Zacharias, he was struck mute because of his unbelief. All these things took place. But in all of this, all these dramas, all these things that are taking place, the point wasn't that what God was blessing two older people to have a baby. That wasn't the point. It was like Isaac being the son of promise. God had a purpose for John. And in the next, you know, we read at verse 17, this is that pinnacle verse we read, and he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. Spiritual readiness. Ready for when that day comes when Jesus Christ returns to take his church home. And the emphasis is on living, right? Living wisely, living, doing good works, honoring Christ. The emphasis. It was Jesus himself who said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Wow. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be also." But then you have, you know, when he said that, "Where I go, and you know the way." And of course, Thomas, you know, he, "Lord, we do not know where you are going or how do we know the way?" And that's when Jesus said those world famous, I think the second most popular verse in the world apart from John 3:16, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me." So we want to be a people prepared for the Lord. You know, we think what Jesus, or what Paul said about being a people that were prepared. In Ephesians chapter 2 and at verse 10, we read that we're God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we need to be that prepared people, doing the things that God's called us to do. Being prepared means walking circumspectly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. We've got to walk circumspectly. That's what it means to be prepared. A people that we're not acting as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, Paul says. It means we have to be prepared as a people by sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. That's one way to be prepared. We sanctify God in our hearts. We're always ready to give answers as a defense to everyone who asks of the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. That's what it means to be prepared. So we need to be prepared for the coming of Christ. We need to be prepared to work the works of God here upon the earth. And we need to be a people who are walking circumspectly in the sight of God. A people who are not living as fools like the world around us, redeeming the time. And we need to be a people who are ready to give answers, prepared to give answers when people ask us about our Lord, our Savior, our faith. You know, John came before Jesus to prepare the way. But in two senses, he came before Jesus to prepare the way for Jesus to come. But the reality is God sent him into this world to prepare the way for the hearts of the people to receive Jesus when he does come. He came to shock the nation. He wanted the Jews to wake up to the reality that Messiah is coming. He wanted to excite the people back to that messianic fervor that they should have had, excite them concerning Jesus who would come after John. You know, John's bold and forceful preaching was necessary. It aroused the people and their minds and their thoughts, the people of God, so that they would get out of their complacency. Jesus is coming, says John. What did he say in Mark chapter 1 and verse 7? Jesus is coming. There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. That's Jesus. He knew the Messiah was coming, and he was prepared to receive him, and his job was to prepare the hearts of the people, to turn the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for Messiah when he would come. So, brothers and sisters, we need to remain prepared and to continue preparing. It's a lifelong process. And we want to be faithful. And we want to be a people who are, when Jesus comes, there's no questions. So why prepare now, though? You know, we mentioned this morning in the lesson, is there tomorrow? Right? Why prepare now? Why not do it later? You know, eat, drink, and marry, and do it later. So tonight I want to just look at, I just want to go through quickly some scriptures, reasons why we really need to be prepared. So why prepare now? Well, first of all, because we don't know when, right? That's the Boy Scout motto, be prepared, and it's a good motto. We don't know when something's going to happen. So if, you know, the Boy Scouts are prepared, I always carry two Band-Aids in my wallet. I carry a pocket knife, and, you know, I carry a tape measure, and I carry pens, and I carry things that are needed in emergency situations. But here, we want to be prepared because we don't know when the problem's going to occur. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. We know what, but we don't know when. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36, Jesus says, but of the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So we don't know. We read about the words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. Think about what Paul said concerning the times and seasons. Brethren, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly, they knew perfectly the day, perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. They didn't know. Jesus, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, Jesus told the church at Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, my mind just went blank, but we can fix that. We have the book. Revelation chapter 3 at verse 3. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you do not watch, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief and you will not know what hour I come upon you. You know, think of the book of Revelation 3. He's warning those people in that congregation. And Mark chapter 13. If you turn to Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, verses 22 to 27. Actually, that should say, 32 to 27. Mark 32 to 27. Jesus tells a parable again about not knowing the day or the hour. Right? You don't know the day or the hour. No one knows, even the angels in heaven, he says. Nor the Son, but only the Father. So he's telling us the parable again. And he says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And then he says, it is like a man going to a far country, and who has left his house and gave authority to his servants. And then he to each one he gave a work, and he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. What else does he say? Verse 35, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. And of course, the master of the house, in this particular case, is synonymous with Jesus. And he says, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. He says, watch. And so we don't know when he's coming. We don't want to be found sleeping when he comes. And when you think of that term sleeping, not necessarily because you go to bed, you can't go to bed at night and go to sleep. If Jesus comes while you're sleeping, that's okay if you're faithful and you're ready. He'll wake you up. So he's not talking about sleeping. He's talking about not doing what you should be doing. Another reason to prepare is we want the crown. That's a pretty straight. Blessed is the man, James says, who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We're going to receive the crown. That's what we're running the race for, to receive the crown. I should have put that scripture in here. In Revelation 2 and 10, we know the church in Smyrna, Jesus is talking to them. Don't fear the things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful until death, he says, and I will give you the crown of life. We want the crown of life, and that's the reason why we need to prepare now. Certainly, we need to prepare because we want to be approved when the Lord comes. When he gathers all the nations, we want to be over here on that right side, right? You know, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, or approved to God, a worker or a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, prepare yourself, be diligent, present yourself approved to God. That goes hand in hand with everything we just said. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, Peter, he says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. We want to be a people who are without spot and blameless. You know, we talked this morning about having idols. If you have an idol that takes up a good portion of your life and your attention, then you have a divided faith, and a house that is divided cannot stand. And so we want to be a people who are without spot and blameless. That's why we work to prepare now, to be found in him without spot and blameless. Finally, we know that Jesus is coming, so we need to be prepared in such a powerful way that we don't fall. That can happen. And so let's look at some of these. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Therefore, be diligent to enter rest, lest any of you fall according to the same example of disobedience. He's talking about people who fell in the wilderness. Philippians 2 and verse 12. As my dear beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. We work our own salvation. You were diligent to do all those things we just talked about, and that will help keep us from falling. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. What does Peter say? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, he says. Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Right? Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will enter and not be able. Why? Because they weren't prepared. They end up being, I get, you know, if you're standing in front of that narrow gate and you're not prepared, you can't get in. If you go to a football, baseball game, and you don't have the ticket, if you're not prepared, you're not getting in. But in this case of the wide gate and the narrow gate, it's almost reasonable to say that you're standing in there trying to get in the narrow gate, you're not prepared, and you're going to get sucked into that big wide gate. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. We want to avoid falling. Paul says, my beloved brethren, remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's how we avoid falling. The same writer, Paul, in Galatians 5 and 4 says, you become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. It's possible. It can happen. But let's think of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's how we avoid falling. And finally, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And so all of these things are things that we need to be a people who are prepared. We need to be a people who are ready when the Lord's voice comes, when that shout of the archangel comes in the trumpet of God. We want to be a people who know God. And people who obey the gospel of Christ so that we won't be condemned. We want to be those people that are brothers and sisters who have gone on before us into Abraham's bosom, into paradise, and they're awaiting us. Well, we want to be the people when they're raised up from the dead that we'll be raised up together with them and to be with the Lord in the air forevermore and comfort one another. That's what it means. And that's the lesson. Let's make sure that we are prepared for that day. And we do that every day of our life, being ready, being ready, being ready. And if there are needs in our life, even tonight, something that we need from the church, something we need, prayer, counsel. I mean, I think everybody here's already been baptized. You're all members of the body of Christ. And so whatever need you might have, preface that with the idea of being prepared. We can help you in that way. In any way, shape, or form, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sit.